to the Experience Darden podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. So believe it or not, Darden has over 50 student clubs and organizations. And I recently caught up with two student leaders, Sarah Neely and Allie Wazurik, to talk more about a club they are very involved with, Net Impact. So without further ado, here's a spotlight on our Net Impact Club here at the Darden School of Business. Sarah, Allie, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So we're going to talk about Net Impact, one of the student clubs here at Darden, a little bit more. But before we get into that, tell us just a little bit more about who you are. What's your background? You know, what did you do before you came to Darden? We'll start with you, Sarah.
Okay, great. Well, I am originally from Southern Indiana, and I went to Indiana University for undergrad. After college, I've spent most of my time in Washington, D.C. I was working in international development. And right before Darden, I was working with the U.S. Agency for International Development on a leadership development program in sub-Saharan Africa.
How about you, Allie?
So I'm born and raised in Chicago. I went to undergrad at Washington University in St. Louis and spent most of my post-undergrad career in teaching. I was a special ed teacher in Chicago for many years. And then my brother started a tech venture, and I did marketing and operations for him for a couple years before wanting to kind of meld education and technology together with the business degree.
So curious about how y'all thought through the decision to get an MBA.
Yeah.
I know it's probably a few years of reflection, maybe more than that. So, Allie, how about you? You were teaching, obviously had some tech experience. How did you decide this was the right step for you?
Yeah, I think working for my brother, it was a mobile app, and I did a lot of kind of the A-B testing with them to figure out how we can customize the experience for different users and make it better. And it was really hard to do that and not be thinking about teaching the whole time because my students had very various needs. I thought a lot about, well, technology could totally transform special education. And after doing a lot of research and talking to a lot of people, a lot of that change is coming from the private sector. And so I thought an MBA was the right next step.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Sarah?
Yeah, I think mine was similar. I mean, if you had told me in undergrad I would have gotten an MBA, I would have probably laughed at you. I was a political science major, really interested in international relations, international development. But while I was working with USAID, I noticed a lot of that public-private partnership to really drive change and thought it was a really interesting model to bring that public sector and private sector together. And I actually, you know, watched some other colleagues of mine at USAID go on to get graduate degrees and was surprised how many people were going for the MBA. So I think watching people who are a year or two ahead of me make that decision as opposed to doing a different type of graduate degree made me think, well, wait a second, is this the type of thing that I should pursue? The MBA is such a leadership-oriented program, which I really wanted to develop those skills, as well as I think the financial, you know, foundation to so much of how the world works mm-hmm. that I didn't already have, and wanted to understand that better.
So I'm always curious, you know, how do people find out about Darden? How did Darden get on your respective radars?
Well, my brother went to UVA for undergrad, so I had been to Charlottesville and loved it. And when I started talking about business school, he said, Darden's really good, you should look into it. And I think that what really stood out to me at Darden was the faculty. I think coming from teaching for many years, it was really important to me to have good teachers because I probably learned differently from other people, and I think it would have been hard to be in a classroom where all of the faculty were so busy researching that they didn't really invest in their students. So I think that was the biggest draw to look at the ratings and everything for the Darden faculty.
Yeah, I think for me, part of it was probably living in D.C. You know, it's down the road to some extent. So really, that was probably a first way that I was looking at Darden. But really, in some of the, you know, blogs and research I did online, I got the sense that Darden was very challenging, very rigorous, but also had a very good community. And I wanted to come to an MBA program like getting the most out of my degree. I knew this would probably be the last like formal education and that if I was investing in it, that I wanted to learn a lot, come out with just so much more than I came in with. And I think the way that Darden does the academic program, the way they communicate what's going to happen to you here is really specific. And then within that, I think the case method was really attractive to me. Coming from a non-business background, I wanted to be challenged to find my business voice. Mm-hmm. And I knew if 40% of your grade is class participation, not only was I going to have to show up, but my classmates were, no matter, you know, what their backgrounds as well. And we were going to be thrown into that together.
So what sections were you?
I was Section D, or I am Section D.
You know? That's right.
It's a lifelong membership.
That's right. You never lose that section identity.
Correct.
How about you, Allie?
I am a bird. I am a Section B bird.
It's a Section D mascot.
We have a large blue letter D. It has some googly eyes. Long story short, it's been stolen and it's been given back a few times. I don't actually know where it is now, but that's the mascot. It was chained to the desk at one point, so it was there each class.
So let's talk a little bit more about your extracurricular involvement. I imagine, like many Darden students, you're juggling a lot of different things, particularly in the second year, where it seems like extracurricular involvement really ramps up. Mm-hmm. But you're here as you're part of the leadership team for the Net Impact Club. So what is Net Impact? What do you do?
Yeah, so Net Impact, a lot of MBA candidates or people looking at MBA programs are likely familiar with the organization, particularly if they're interested in social and environmental impact. It's a national organization. Actually, I think it's based in Oakland or San Francisco. There are chapters at undergraduate and MBA programs around the country and really around the world. And I believe there are some professional chapters as well. I do think that MBA is really kind of the core of the organization and a lot of things driven from being involved while you're an MBA. So what Net Impact means for us here at Darden is really how can people take the skills they're learning in business school from leadership, management, tackling really difficult challenges, and look at the environmental and social issues they see around them and think about applying those skills in those areas. So a lot of even the cases that we're presented with or people bringing outside experience from work they've done or volunteering, we all have issues that we want to think about new ways to tackle. And so we're really a club that kind of brings that together. So we have programs related to working with nonprofits. We have programs related to understanding corporate social responsibility, programs related to developing a career where you're not directly in CSR or a nonprofit, but just infusing, you know, any kind of role with that. And then in addition to career-focused things, really just bringing the community together to learn about new topics such as clean energy, racial equity, and things like that.
So I'm curious about why you decided to get involved with the club in a leadership capacity. Mm-hmm. Allie, what brought you to the Net Impact?
Yeah, so I think business school for me, even though it seemed like a clear next step given what I wanted to do in my career, it also felt a little bit like selling out and like I was going to come here and, I don't know, go work for a big bank or something and like never care about the world again. Whereas teaching, it's like every day you see the positive impact that you're having on people. And so I knew I wanted to stay connected to that and also find out ways to stay connected to that once I have those business skills. And I think a corporate social responsibility type role would be ideal a decade from now. So I knew wherever I went to business school that Net Impact was going to be a big focus for me. And I think there's a lot of potential for leadership in that space at Darden in particular.
Yeah, I would say within my MBA search, I knew I would get involved in Net Impact no matter what school basically I went to. And it was interesting. I got involved, you know, right away here at Darden. I didn't necessarily plan to be involved in leadership. I was a first-year liaison last year, which basically means I go to board meetings. So I see how the second years are running the board, planning events and things like that, and helping engage first years on what the activities are overall with the club. But hadn't necessarily anticipated running for a board role or being president of the club. And if I look back to my pre-MBA plans, I would have never anticipated probably being in this role. It's been really exciting and a lot of fun. One of the reasons I took it too is I thought it'd be a way to get real leadership experience. You know, Allie might not know it. She's part of an experiment in which I learn how to manage people. But, you know, we have a board. We have a board of eight people, and it's each, you know, running different things. And so learning how to work with different personalities while delivering a great experience for the Darden community. Just quickly on that, we have about 120 members in Net Impact. So it's a, you know, a nice sized club that's within first years and second years. So we bring kind of an interesting set of people as well.
Yeah, that's like 20% of the student body.
Is yeah.
In Net Impact. It's impressive. So what kind of programming do you do? I mean, what are some highlights? I'm sure there's a lot. So we could probably do a whole podcast just on your programming. But what sort of programming do y'all do?
Yeah. And so we just finished Net Impact Week, which has been a tradition for a few years. At mm-hmm. least the club does a whole week of events dedicated to Net Impact. Our goal was really just to do it in a more robust way than last year and make sure that we cover as broad of a range as possible of interests in impact in general. So I think we started on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So that day, it was really important to us to address the racial equity piece, which is part of our mission as a larger organization. So we showed a documentary and had a discussion dedicated to particularly equity in housing policy. And it was really interesting. I think we brought a lot of people who don't always show up for the diversity events because we also brought in real estate and public policy. We also focused on a faculty event. One of the things we talked a lot about this year was how many of our faculty members are doing research in the impact space and how little we know about it. So we highlighted five of our faculty members and they all came up and did kind of like a mini TED talk and mm-hmm. talked about their current research. And it was a great time for students and faculty to interact and over wine and beer and snacks and talk about things that matter and how we can do more to make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, and with that faculty fireside chats is what it was called. But yeah, it was a way to see how they're using their, you know, their business skills for research that's related to impact type work, either sustainability or housing policy and different things like that.
Artificial intelligence.
Yeah. And I think too, Net Impact Week is really about reaching the broader Darden community and bringing them into some of the activities that we might think are interest to them as well. So you might not necessarily think artificial intelligence has an intersection with Net Impact, but how is that going to affect the future of work? How is it going to affect employment and labor and poverty and things like that? A couple other events we had, particularly for Net Impact Week, we brought in the former vice president of sustainability at McDonald's and worked with the corporate engagement team here at Darden to have a really large speaker series event. Probably we brought in, I think, over 200 students to that. So that was really great. Some other programming outside of Net Impact Week. One thing we did last fall, which, you know, was a great way to kick off the year, was a lunch with Ed Freeman, who's a professor here at Darden. He's our faculty liaison for the club. And he did a talk on the new story of business and a lot of the work and research he's doing on how businesses can, you know, work for good and what capitalism means for society. And so I think that helps students connect as well to not just what you're doing in core, but what it means, you know, outside of that.
And I think for better or worse, like, we're now living in an age where our consumers care about how socially responsible the businesses are, where they shop, where they work, and things like that. So it has given us, like, a bigger stage as Net Impact to talk about that mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. catering to these customers and caring about the environment and social issues also makes you more money. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, that is interesting. You consider how things have changed over the past 20 years, and people want to know what a company believes in mm-hmm. now and sort of core beyond just like bottom line, profit, mm-hmm. loss, that sort of thing. Yeah. You know, what are your values and how you express those values through your marketing campaigns and how you run your business, all this kind of mm-hmm. stuff.
No, for sure. I think particularly with the talk with Bob Langert, who's the former VP of sustainability at McDonald's, you know, you mentioned this has changed over the last 20 years. It's fascinating. He had been working in that role from late 80s to mid 2000, maybe 2014. And he talked about, you know, the fact that, and it's in a new book he wrote, that 30 years ago, people weren't asking as much about businesses' role in society or in environment and how, you know, as those issues come up, a company is prepared to deal with them, and how are companies being more proactive to be better, you know, corporate citizens in advance.
So obviously, both of you have strong interest in corporate social responsibility. Is this something you're planning to pursue after graduation?
Eventually, I hope. It's a really hard field to get into out of business school. But I will say it influenced the way I recruited heavily. I really wanted to find a company that I was going to be really proud to work at and values that I could align with. So I actually interned in product marketing at Microsoft, and I will be going back. And I'm sure many of the listeners know Microsoft is an incredibly socially responsible organization. They're very dedicated to diversity and inclusion. And I think it was something I knew from learning about them to recruit, but then being there, seeing how much it was in their blood really made it a no-brainer to go back. And then I think because they also do a lot of work in education, there's a lot of potential to eventually be working in the education space there and possibly in their philanthropy or CSR arm as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think actually it was during Darden Days, which is the admitted student weekend that takes place as you're deciding where to go. There was a net impact like primer meeting. And again, this was spring of 2017. So I hadn't decided to come to Darden yet, but was considering it. And a couple current Darden students led that session, and they were talking about what it was like to look for an impact-focused career, and particularly if you wanted to be in a large company, how to think about doing that. And a lot of what they said was, look for a company whose values you feel like you fit well with, you know, you're passionate about their mission, and then you can get into that company, and then, you know, you can find your way to CSR if that's what you want to do, or there are probably a lot of ways to build that into your roles as you grow at that company. And that was, I think, great advice to hear at that point. I think Allie and I always joke about this example. We were at the Net Impact Conference last year in Atlanta and talked to some executives of large companies you would know and heard similar advice. So it was interesting to kind of hear that and then have it backed up. And I think that also influenced my recruiting strategy as well. I was at Hilton this summer, and I'm going back to Hilton. And I think similar to Allie, it's a company that I love hospitality. I think it's a very fun industry. I love getting behind the idea of helping people experience travel and new places. But they're also doing a lot on the sustainability side, on their social impact footprint as they grow as a business. And so I knew that I would, even if I wasn't working in sustainability, that I could infuse my work with that. And this summer while I was interning there, you know, I made sure to meet with that team, get to know them, and build some relationships. So I think, yeah, the whole process of being here at Darden and part of Net Impact has helped with that.
That's such great advice. I will tell you from an admissions standpoint, we get a lot of questions about corporate social responsibility.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, our general take is that it's a tough field to break into, but to hear your sort of suggestion like, hey, find a company, you know, mm-hmm. you like their values, great, get there and then start networking.
And we hear more actually, I think in the last few weeks, I can't think of any specific companies, but as it becomes more important for companies to act sustainable, it's being built into performance, you know, metrics in some mm-hmm. roles and things like that. So I think there are a lot of ways to influence this area right now in whatever job you're in a company, regardless of whether that is a CSR-focused role or elsewhere in the company. In a lot of sense, you might want to build it into other parts of the company because then it's becoming business practice, you know, and not just the sidearm. So there are a couple different perspectives to take there.
Yeah, and interesting news, Financial Times just yesterday, Darden number one in the world for corporate social responsibility. Mm-hmm. So exciting for sure. First time they've ever had that ranking.
Yeah. So, that was really neat to see. I saw, too, with the criteria about it being involved or being part of the curriculum. And that makes sense. We were both in Deviant Marketing today, which is a marketing class where we're looking a lot at behavioral science and economics and thinking about how to influence behavior. But today we brought an ethics professor in to talk about what are the ethics behind nudging behavior in a marketing context. So it was funny to see that news piece yesterday and then kind of experience it directly today. And I think that's built into a lot of the core as well and other things.
And the same, our deviant marketing professor was one of our speakers at the faculty event.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what she talked about was nudging people towards sustainability. So just thinking about different ways to nudge in marketing, but also nudging people to make decisions that are better for the environment, better for the world, more equitable, and mm-hmm. things like that.
Yeah, I was going to ask how you felt. I mean, obviously, the mission here is about developing responsible leaders. And I was curious about how you felt some of the focus on responsibility and social responsibility and all that has come through in your mm-hmm. in your curricular experience here.
It's a huge part. It's a huge part of the curriculum. I think there's a really good, it's not just that there's a balance of quantitative and qualitative classes, but a lot of the classes are, there are often cases that are co-taught by an ethics professor and your decision analysis professor. Or I think there's a lot of collaboration. And I remember in particular in finance, a lot of times we talked about the numbers and how'd you get that number and if it's NPV positive, should you go for it? But the questions were always, okay, what are the risks and what are the non-financial mm-hmm. reasons to go with or not go with a project? So it's definitely something you feel coming from mm-hmm. the faculty. And I think a lot of the cases are particularly, like, they're supposed to be controversial and get you to have mm-hmm. discussions about, like, ethics or yeah. or feelings versus, like, technical, what is best financially or what are the best returns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. There was one case in particular last year that was a co-taught, I think it was operations and ethics around yeah. the cocoa supply chain. And you're working at a candy manufacturer or a chocolate manufacturer, and you have three different suppliers to choose from. And, you know, there's a balance among all three of price, you know, good quality of labor or...
Do they use child labor?
Yeah, and things yeah. like that. And so you're trying to balance the transparency of the information you have, what that says about your company, what's sustainable. So those were some interesting conversations.
I can imagine. So shifting gears just a little bit, as you reflect on, I mean, y'all are almost to graduation, probably.
Nuts.
Hard to believe.
So crazy.
What has been the most surprising thing about your Darden experience thus far? You know, obviously you probably had some expectations coming in. What surprised you?
That's hard. I feel like I had no idea what I was getting into. Like, everything was a surprise.
Yeah. Probably some sense of, I mean, I'm not a finance whiz by any means or accounting, but again, coming from a non-financial or non-business background, like, having a comfort now to ask questions around really anything. And it's not a comfort of, like, I know a lot, I'm here to, like, ask questions because I'm a genius, but just feeling comfortable, because in any business setting, you're going to have to ask questions. You might need clarification. There's just information you need to find out that is important. So that's kind of vague, but just feeling more comfortable asking questions, getting more information, and talking in a business voice has surprised me.
Yeah. And I think this is sort of related, but I think the biggest surprise to me has been my own ability to affect change here. I think we talk a lot about how Darden is so student run. Like, there are moments where we're just like, we do so much for this school, and it can feel like a lot sometimes. It can feel overwhelming, but I think it teaches you a lot about leadership. It teaches you a lot about the roles that we can play on the teams that we're joining next year. And it feels very empowering. And I think if you asked me a year ago, would I be planning a week of events to bring a bunch of people here to talk about impact, I would be like, no way, no one's going to listen to me. No one's going to care what I have to say. But mm-hmm. I think, you know, we've really done something here. We've really made an impact. We've probably gotten people to think about social impact and sustainability who wouldn't otherwise. And when you're around the future leaders of the world, it's a really important thing to hammer home. And so it's just cool to feel
mm-hmm.
That, like, autonomy and that influence.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So given your respective backgrounds, you probably know this, and you may have wrestled with some of this too. I think sometimes prospective students are thinking, I don't have the right background for business school. Won't everybody be from a quote-unquote traditional business background? Is this something you struggle with, or how did you think through?
I did. So a couple things. A friend of mine who was pursuing an MBA elsewhere knew that I was considering it, but very lightly. And she encouraged me to look into the Forte Foundation. I think Bernardin is a Forte partner. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did a program that they offer that helps women kind of think through whether they want to get an MBA and do preparation. That was really valuable for me. And I feel like I got connected with schools in that process. I think that at maybe some point going to an admissions or type of session, someone said non-traditional isn't non-traditional anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think knowing that there are a lot of people coming from different backgrounds. Yesterday, we actually, as Net Impact, hosted a roundtable with a VP of communications from Coca-Cola. And she said something along the lines of, you know, stretch yourself and do a wide variety of things. She's like, it'll make you more interesting in your career. It'll make you more interesting as a person. And so I like to think that if I'm reflecting on my experience and now being in business school, like, how can I bring all of those pieces together to do something cool, you know, moving forward?
Mm-hmm. Miss you, Allie.
Yeah. So I think I came here really nervous about that, about being this non-traditional student. First of all, almost everyone is non-traditional. Even if they're traditional, they were in a different function, a much lower level function or something, something different. We're all non-traditional. We all have things to learn. I was just talking to a first year who also was a teacher before, and part of, I mean, this wasn't just to comfort her about how the process would work itself out, but I think I really felt like I drew a lot from my teaching career at my internship this summer. Not to say that I didn't need the first year core. I'm sure I needed it. There were words that I speak a whole new language now, but I pulled so much from my teaching career. I think as a special ed teacher, a lot of my job was kind of pleasing multiple stakeholders, like make sure the parents and the general education teachers and the social worker and the principal and everyone is on board with my plan for this particular student. And a lot of my role this summer was making sure that the engineers and the marketers and the salespeople and everyone on my team and on many other teams was on board with my strategy at Microsoft. So I think a lot of the skills you develop in your non-traditional careers are going to prove to be extremely useful, especially when you couple them with what we learn in our very rigorous first year. Yes.
So last question. What would you want a prospective student to know about Darden? Someone, you know, sends you an email, gives you a call and says, hey, you know, tell me about Darden. You know, what would you want to highlight for that person?
For me, I mean, this comes into why I made the choice to come here, and I do feel like I've gotten this from being here, but it goes back to why I looked at Darden in the first place, you know, challenging and rigorous. But I really wanted to go someplace where people were all in, and I do feel like, for the most part, people are committed to the experience they're going to have here. And that is really exciting. I think that just within the community, people are committed to being part of Darden, to being in class, to the recruiting process, to giving back to other students, and that, you know, it feels really cool.
I would agree with that. I think there's a huge benefit to going to business school in a college town that's not in a huge city where it's not a commuter school. Everyone here is fully bought in. If you come to Darden, you know you're going to be on a learning team. So if you're a CPA, you know you're going to be getting five people through accounting. Like, that is your job. You don't come here to just be the smartest kid in the class and not help people. So I think there's just, I think that you don't get that level of support in other student communities. It's just people are here for 2 years. They're not commuting. They're super committed. I think you made a really good point. And the faculty, too. I mean, I can't say enough about them. Like, they're so incredible, and I think it's such a rare thing to have MBA professors who have you over for dinner? Or I literally yesterday went spinning with my first year accounting professor. and they're very committed to doing things with their students and to connecting with you. And their research is separate, and like they're doing research during a separate quarter. So they're the quarters that they're teaching, like they are fully there for their mm-hmm. students.
Yeah. Yeah. Going back to a little bit what Ali said, for, you know, that accounting person, the CPA who's here. I mean, I think a lot of your success as a Darden student is being successful yourself, helping other people be successful, helping each other learn, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, you know, you mentioned going to spinning with Luann, but there is a sense of getting engaged with Charlottesville as a larger place. One of the other just quickly events we did last week with Net Impact Week was a dinner at a local restaurant. We had a couple people involved in that restaurant group speak to us about sustainability in their restaurants and how they're doing different things there. And there's just a pretty cool community within Charlottesville and Central Virginia doing a lot of interesting work related to not just sustainability, but clean energy, mm-hmm. Different types of technology that you wouldn't really expect to have here. And there's a lot of access to that business community because we're all here together in Charlottesville. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and there's such a strong relationship between the town and the university. It's been fun talking with some of the folks who involved with the entrepreneurship mm-hmm. ecosystem, mm-hmm. how all in Charlottesville is on entrepreneurship and certainly cultivating a community here. And I mean, just it's harder to achieve that sort of collective feel, I think, in a larger place. I mean, Charlottesville's got a lot, right? Mm-hmm. But, it's not the same scale as, say, a New York or a Chicago. So, well, Sarah, Ali, thank you so much for taking time. I have learned a few things. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
And that was my conversation with two leaders from our Net Impact Club, Sarah Neely and Ali Wazorik. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at Virginia, V-I-R-G-I-N-I-A.edu. And until next time, thanks for listening.